Do you ever have one of those weeks that just seems like it's too busy? You know, that quote by Abraham Lincoln, at least supposedly by him, that if he had 6 hours to chop down a tree, he'd take the first four to sharpen his axe. First of all, I'd like to have 6 hours to do just about anything. Seems like I never have that long of a time, but if someone gave me 6 hours, sometimes I just feel like I take the first four to take a nap. Yeah, maybe just 4 hours of extra sleep would help a little bit. 4 hours of just staring at a wall. Wouldn't that be nice? To just have nothing going on for a little bit. It's easy to feel like we just get too busy. Those times of margin in our life are easy to trade for other things. And, you know, oftentimes we think of modern society as maybe contributing to this problem. You know, you think back 100 or 150 years and you see the way people lived there, taking a whole day to ride their horse into town to buy some supplies. If it took me the whole day to drive somewhere, I don't know if I could fit that trip in. We would just never get groceries. That's the way we would do it. We'd have to do, you know, delivery for everything. I'm not sure that they had the same delivery service where you get next day delivery on all your old time supplies. Need a new copper pot, you're just going to have to wait a month or two till the copper guy comes back to town. It's easy to feel like every little thing that makes your life easier and quicker just means there's another slot you can fill in with something else. It can be hard to schedule even getting together with people that you want to get together with. Have you ever tried to compare schedules with someone and like, okay, well, I could do Tuesday at lunch. Nah, Tuesday doesn't work for me. What about Wednesday for dinner? No, I'm not for me, sorry. Okay, let's pencil it in for December 4th, and we can do a 10-minute breakfast between 8 o'clock and 8:10, and then we both have to go our own ways. And then a couple weeks before that, sorry, something came up. We're going to have to reschedule. Of course, being busy isn't just a modern phenomenon. There might be a more variety of things that we can schedule into our days now, but people were busy back in the olden times as well. You know, they had to schedule in that all-day trip to town. They knew it was going to take up a whole lot of time, and that was time they could spend on something else. And if you get a group of people together, it gets harder and harder to just take care of the normal tasks of living. You know, I love having these potlucks, but they only work because people are willing to spend a bunch of time at getting food ready themselves, then bring it here, and people here spend a bunch of time getting the kitchen set up and getting the table set up. It's a lot of work getting a whole lot of people fed. I feel that at my house sometimes when we just have just our own family, no one's coming over or anything, and I think, how much work does it take? I want to switch all my food to instant versions. You know, it takes too long to let rice cook for 20 minutes. We need instant rice. Speed things up a little bit. Get the microwave going instead of the stove, because why does it have to take so long to make the food? And it just keeps happening, doesn't it? Your family probably wouldn't be too happy with saying, let's just take the next few days off. Let's just not make dinner for a few days. Let's see if we really needed that in our life. Probably about half an hour after the first dinner was supposed to be served, people would start asking questions. Now, hold on, are we not eating anything tonight? So it's just to bed then, is that what we're doing? I guess it saves time. It's not worth it though, is it? We have the opportunity in those times to start to complain. Isn't anyone else going to help do this? I felt that way. I'm sure probably each of you, no matter what the arrangement of chores and duties around your house is, even if you live by yourself, sometimes don't you feel, isn't anyone else going to help with this? I know it's just my house. I know I'm only cooking for me, but it would be nice if someone else just did this for me sometimes. And sometimes you're the person that the complaints come to. Hey, no one's helping me with this. I've had kids tell me that a lot of times. No one else is helping me with this. I don't think they want to do that. Okay, but I want to, and no one else is helping me. Okay, you got to convince them. I don't know what to tell you, man. If they don't want to play this game, then you're just not going to be able to play it. There's just some things you won't be able to do by yourself. And of course, the church isn't immune to those types of complaints either. What about my thing? When are we gonna sing the song that I like? When are we gonna turn the heat on? It's a little cold in here today. Or you guys turn the heat on too soon. Why is it so toasty in here? And there can be little complaints, but there can be big complaints as well. Times when in the bustle and in the work of the ministry, even when good things are going on, maybe something gets missed. And that's the story we have today. We're in Acts chapter 6, and we are reading just the first section here as there has some conflict coming up in the church. I'm going to read starting in verse 1. Now in these days, when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews, because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. And the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, "It is not right that we should be giving up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And what they said pleased the whole gathering. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. These they set before the apostles, and they prayed and laid their hands on them. And the word of God continued to increase, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. This is the word of God. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of your word, for this chance to study it together, and we ask that you would help us to know you more, that you would change our hearts and our minds and strengthen your church through it. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen. Here we start out with a church complaint. The number of disciples were increasing. We've already seen that they had this great generosity in the church. People were bringing things and selling things, selling property even, bringing the money to the apostles. And distribution was made to all who were in need, but not really. And that led to this complaint. Probably the first church complaint, at least the first one significant enough to devote part of a chapter to. Not everyone was receiving this distribution. In the midst of this great time, when things are going really well in the church, when the apostles are out preaching day after day, people are hearing the gospel and responding, the crowds are growing, just about every metric you could look at in the church, things are going well. There's great generosity and even being able to care for everyone who is in need. And then a few people come to them. You know, there's a little problem here. Not everyone who's in need actually received anything. On Tuesday, I know that people went around and distributed food to those who were hungry, but Marge was still hungry. She didn't get anything. And not only that, it wasn't just a one-time problem. It's not that once or twice someone was missed, a new convert perhaps that came to the church and no one got them on the right list yet. But there's a bigger problem. Because when they started checking who missed dinner, the same type of names started coming up over and over again. And so they come to the apostles. The complaint brought by the Hellenists, these Jewish people who are of Greek descent or more Greek in their culture, coming in and saying that the Hebrews, the ones who were perhaps generation after generation had been living in Jerusalem and the area, the ones who were more familiar with Hebrew, perhaps have been trained more and were able to join in with the worship in the temple and meet that way. Whatever is going on, one group is receiving in this distribution and the other group is left out. It's a serious concern. It's not just a mistake in a random person or two. but a whole portion of the church that is missing out. This may have happened, of course, quite innocently. If the distribution happened centered around the temple and the people who are there, maybe an early convert, as these gifts started coming in, took up the charge. You know, I'll help distribute these things. We'll talk to the people, see what kind of needs there are, and we'll start making this distribution. And naturally, it's the people that they know, and then the people that those people know, and the people that those people know. And pretty soon, it's a whole group of friends who think alike and meet the same places who are receiving in this distribution, and a group that's left out. And perhaps people came with even worse motives. You know, we don't really like those people too much. Let's put them at the bottom of the list. Unless they speak up, we don't need to go to their side of town. We don't need to bring stuff over there. We don't know exactly what led to this inequity. But that it happened, and when the complaint comes, the apostles don't deny it. There's no, let's take time to search this out. Let's get the whole list here and see if anyone really is missing from it. But they also don't respond by saying, don't worry, I'll take Marge for dinner tonight. They do something else. This complaint leads to a time of compromise, choosing compromise over just agreeing. They don't come and say, oh, that's terrible, I'll take care of it today. This has been brought to the apostles, the highest level of the church. Those who are setting up the patterns of how the church is going to continue to operate. And their answer is interesting. Of course, this discussion may have taken more than a couple sentences here. But what's recorded for us is a reply that starts with this. It's not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. That's often the type of task that people remember their time with a pastor by, isn't it? The time the pastor came and had dinner with us, when he invited us over. Those are good times. But at the same time, the apostles say, look, if we spend all our time taking food to the widows, we'll be missing out on what we are called to do. We can't do what you want us to do. But they have a suggestion of themselves. Peter isn't going to be bringing dinner to the widows, but why don't you guys go out and find 7 men? Find some people who can take care of this, and we'll give them authority, and we will send them out. Pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, who we will appoint to this duty. You know, it's not only are the apostles not actually going to do this work themselves, they're not actually going to choose the people themselves. Go out, find some people who you think can do this, who are the most honest people, who could take care of this. There are a few stories like that in history, times of conquest, where after battle, the people who are all vying for the spoils of war realize, wait, we have that one honest guy in our army. He could be in charge of this money. He can get it back safely and distribute it fairly. Those people do tend to stand out. People who aren't taking extra, aren't seeking anything for themselves. Here they find 7 people. The names that are listed here, starting in verse 5, these names almost certainly come from the Hellenists themselves. The people who were being missed, now from their group, men are picked to oversee, it seems, the distribution to everyone, to take care of this. And the requirements put on them are not just that they are good at carrying a lot of food at once, but rather spiritual requirements, men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom. Often this is seen as the first deacons in the church, those who do a job other than the teaching and the preaching leading the times of prayer, but take up those other tasks. The role of these men is really more than just to distribute food. It's wrapped up in peacemaking. Can we solve the deeper problem? Because certainly there is a problem of people receiving from the distribution. They want to cover the needs of the people. But more than that, there is a danger that is looming in this moment. Will the church be torn apart? What would happen if one group is neglected? If it is only the Hebrews who are cared for in the church? Will this message of the gospel stop at the walls of Jerusalem? How will we care for those who come from other places? How will they be integrated? The work of these men is to be peacemakers in the church, to make sure that needs are heard, people are cared for. And at the same time, to allow the apostles to continue in the ministry, to devote themselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. This is a great work that is done in the church. We see people appointed to similar types of work later in the New Testament as well. This is work that each of us as believers is able to do in the church, to do the work of a peacemaker, that when problems come up, to see how we can care for one another, how we can correct matters of injustice, how we can serve one another. That sometimes in church we do need to just choose to compromise. That sometimes the music is a little bit too loud and sometimes it's a little bit too quiet. Sometimes you might think the song is too fast or too slow, or it's too warm or too cold. And even on important things, we have to choose that if we are going to work in unity, to find a way to get along and to continue in the ministry. And to not let these things sidetrack the ministry of the word and prayer. Each of us is able to play a part in that, in making peace in the church, in keeping that focus on the ministry and the proclamation of the gospel. Especially during times of change, this is important. Because you see also in this section that this is a changing community in the church. We actually see two elements of this. The first being this complaint about the Hellenists being neglected. New cultures are coming into conflict. In fact, in the list, you see the last person, Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. Two elements there, that he is not from Jerusalem, he's from Antioch, and he's a proselyte, someone who came to faith later, came to the Jewish faith later, and then heard and became a Christian. We're getting a little bit farther removed from Jerusalem and the temple worship, from those who have lived their whole life hearing about the Old Testament. Things are changing. And at the same time, we see in verse 7, the word of God continued to increase, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. It makes sense, even though the high priest and those leaders of the people were standing against the apostles, they kept going to the temple, going out there and proclaiming who Jesus is. And many of the priests who would hear this day after day, and who also, for many of them, had the ability to go and see in the scriptures what they were referring to. They come to believe, to understand, coming into the faith. It doesn't say that these priests all retired from the priesthood. There's still, during this period, a understanding of the connection with the temple, and probably with priests now joining their ranks in greater number, there's a tightening connection to the temple. And we see that the church begins to struggle with, what do we do with the old ways? What do we do with this time of coming to the temple and worshiping God there, but also the understanding that the Holy Spirit has come to us? And they start talking about the priesthood of all believers. What role will the priests hold? How do we bring this understanding to the people? As these things change, being pulled in both directions, what will happen to the church? Of course, we know ultimately the direction that things go. But in these times of tension, peacemakers are needed. People who are willing to say, I will step up and work hard that others can be cared for. We are called to the same things today. I hope that in this church we don't have the same types of complaints. There's no class of people that we feel like are routinely neglected in the things that we do. But that doesn't mean there's no complaints. And even if it's not split along those types of lines, there can be people who feel left out, passed over. And part of being a peacemaker, twofold here, really, the first step was to not be too afraid to bring some of those complaints to people in charge. To say, hey, I think this person is feeling like they need a little bit more. A little bit something else. But the other part is to be able to find people who can solve those problems. That's why I appreciate so much the people who have been willing to visit one another and care for one another. That if I have left less time available to do those things, people who step up and say, well, I can care for them. I can bring a meal or I can just spend some time. To be willing to also take that step as things change. As we have different people showing up, helping them feel welcome. And overall, that commitment, which is not just for me, not just for myself and the elders, but for all of us, to devote ourselves to prayer and the ministry of the word. Even if that's not your specific task overall in the church, all of us are called to the same thing, to understand the scripture and be ready to give a defense of it, to pray for one another. It is our prayer, day in and day out, again and again, that this would be true of us, that the word of God would continue to increase, and the number of disciples will multiply. God can do that today. When we care for one another, when we commit ourselves to the things that matter most, when we make peace, even in the midst of complaints, the gospel can move in mighty ways. God is preparing hearts of people all around us. There is a harvest out there. Let us move boldly and proclaim the word of God. Amen. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love and your mercy, for the way that you use us. And we ask that you do use us in incredible ways to make peace here in the church, to encourage one another, and to proclaim your word wherever we go. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.